ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट नंबर 43।
नाहम तवांग्री कमलम क्षणार्धम अपि केशव त्यक्तुम समुत्सहे नाथ स्वधाम नय माम अपि। नाहं तवांग्रि कमलम क्षणार्धम अपि केशव त्यक्तुं समुत्सहे नाथ स्वधाम नय मामपि। नाहं तवांग्रि कमलम क्षणार्धम अपि केशव त्यक्तुं समुत्सहे नाथ स्वधाम नय मामपि। नाहं तवांग्रि कमलम क्षणार्धम अपि केशव त्यक्तुं समुत्सहे नाथ स्वधाम नय मामपि। नाहं तवांग्रि कमलम क्षणार्धम अपि केशव त्यक्तुं समुत्सहे नाथ स्वधाम नय मामपि। नाहं तवांग्रि कमलम क्षणार्धम अपि केशव त्यक्तुं समुत्सहे नाथ स्वधाम नय मामपि। माताजी, नाहं तवांग्रि कमलम क्षणार्धम अपि केशव त्यक्तुं समुत्सहे नाथ स्वधाम नय मामपि। न आई एम नॉट अहम आई तव योर अंग्रि कमलम लोटस फीट क्षण ऑफ अ मोमेंट अर्धम फॉर हाफ अपि इवन केशव ओ किलर ऑफ द डीमन केशी त्यक्तुम गिविंग अप समुत्सहे आई एबल टू टॉलरेट नाथ ओ मास्टर स्वधाम टू योर ओन अबोर्ड नय प्लीज टेक माम मी अपि ऑल्सो। ट्रांसलेशन, ओ लॉर्ड केशव माय डियर मास्टर आई कैनॉट टॉलरेट गिविंग अप योर लोटस फीट इवन फॉर अ फ्रैक्शन ऑफ अ मोमेंट आई अर्ज यू टू टेक मी अलॉन्ग विथ यू टू योर ओन अबोर्ड। पर्पट, Uddhava understood that Krishna was going to withdraw the Yadu dynasty and thus he begged the Lord to take him along to the Lord's abode. He had no desire to merge into Krishna's impersonal effulgence. Instead, he wanted to go to the Lord's spiritual abode and continue association with Krishna as his dearmost friend. Krishna is a personality of Godhead and can do whatever he likes, but the devotee begs the Lord for the chance to serve him. although the Lord manifests within the material world His various abodes such as Vrindavan, Dwarka and Mathura, and although these are certainly non-different from their counterparts in the spiritual world, the most advanced devotees, overwhelmed with desire to personally serve the Lord, are very eager to go to the Lord's original spiritual planet. As stated by Lord Kapila in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pure devotees have no desire for liberation. Because of their eagerness to render service, they urge the Lord to appear before them. The six Goswamis, due to their intense eagerness to serve Radha and Krishna, urgently searched after them, calling out their names in the forest of Vrindavan. Similarly, Uddhava is urging the Lord to take him to his own abode, so that Uddhava's personal service to the Lord's lotus feet will not be interrupted even for a moment. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that immature conditioned souls think that Lord Krishna is an ordinary jiva soul engaged in material activities and was thus unable to protect his own dynasty from the curse of the Brahmanas. Uddhava's statement corrects such unfortunate persons. It is Lord Krishna himself who awarded pious living entities birth in Brahminical families, and then Lord Krishna further awarded them the potency to curse his dynasty. And finally, Lord Krishna personally kept the curse intact, although he was capable of neutralizing it. Therefore, in the beginning, middle and end, directly and indirectly, in the past, present and future, Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, and he is completely transcendental to even the slightest touch of material illusion or impotence. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare O Lord Keshava, my dear master, I cannot tolerate giving up your lotus feet even for a fraction of a moment. I urge you to take me along with you to your own abode. So as very beautifully pointed out in the purport here, for those who are skeptics and want to cook up a story that Krishna was helpless and therefore accepted the curse, there are many points to refute that. One point being made here is by Uddhava's own appeal. Uddhava is very conscious that Krishna, winding up his pastimes, is for making his grand entry into the spiritual world and not a lackluster exit from this material abode. It's not some kind of palayanam, some kind of escapism that Krishna is actually displaying. But yes, he's making a grand entry back to his spiritual abode, taking back, not just entering alone, but taking back entourage of devotees that he brought along with him. And here Uddhava says, I want to be a part of that entourage. I know you are winding up your pastimes. You might have some plan for me. But oh Lord, I want to express my heart as well. I don't know what I'll do here, how I'll survive here without you. It's explained that Uddhava was so Krishna conscious that just by seeing him, the Brajabasis would remember Krishna. People around him would be reminded of Krishna. Because he was actually reflecting qualities of Krishna in being conscious about him. We can experience that when a great personality is being remembered very intensely, very lovingly, and very sincerely by his associates. The associates feel, people around the associates feel very naturally drawn and attracted. That is the whole principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the whole principle of all the narratives we have in our scriptures to continuously hear about the glories of the Lord and draw our heart. Now, Uddhava is seeking entrance into the spiritual abode. Now, one might wonder, there were so many abodes here, right here. The Lord had created so many abodes even during his pastimes. Every place that the Lord places lotus feet at was verily a place of worship, a place of Vrindavan. It was basically Vrindavan. So, why was Uddhava still seeking entry into the Lord's abode? So, it's explained, yes, all these are great places of pilgrimage, yet there is an exclusive chance for serving the Lord in his eternal spiritual abode. There is no chance of distraction. There is only chance of continuous engagement without distraction. A devotee seeks that. So a devotee is seeking uninterrupted, unalloyed connection with the Lord. The entire upbringing, the Dharma Shastras, the whole process of samskaras is to reinforce in every living entity a sacredness of relationships. And how to dovetail, how to seek the sacredness of all these relationships in one's sacredness, in sacred relationship with Krishna. To reinforce this again and again. We can see the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Vritrasura. Such a difficult situation. He was born with the very purpose of destroying the devatas. Tvashta, perform the sacrifice. Because his father, Vishwarupa, was very very unfairly killed by the devatas. So, in one sense, Vritrasura's birth was for a very adharmic cause. And he had to live up to that purpose. In fact, to counter his appearance, the devatas had approached the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord directed them to Dadichi. And of course, they got all the required weapons to be able to counteract Vritrasura. Indra was well equipped to kill Vritrasura. But despite all this, Vritrasura continued engaging in a very fierce battle. One of the fiercest battles, which brought Indra almost on the verge of death. But Vritrasura, even in that situation, remembered the potency of the Lord's blessing. He had complete faith in the Lord's blessing upon the devatas. And he also had complete faith that there is a purpose behind all this. How can one maintain faith in the purpose behind the Lord's creation, the Lord's arrangement, even in these most challenging situations, which questions one's own relationship with the Supreme Lord? Because Vritrasura was not in that position. He had to fight against the Suras who were representing the Supreme Lord. So this is the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in that difficult situation, Vritrasura, he prays very beautifully.
Na nakapristam, na cha parameshtyam, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadipatyam, na yoga siddhir apunarbhavadva, samanjasatva, virahayya kangshe.
So he said, O Lord, what is it that I cherish? Is it that by engaging this fierce battle, I cherish victory? No, I don't even cherish Dhruvaloka. Now, Dhruvaloka, again, another such a beautiful story, awarded by the Supreme Lord Himself to a somewhat unwilling Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was reflecting, why did I ask? I've come to a king. He is narrating the case of a beggar who came to a king. The king is willing to offer everything. And the beggar says, "Oh Lord, oh king, please give me some paddy." So that Dhruvaloka, awarded by the Supreme Lord Himself, on which He had told Dhruva, "You will reign for 26,000 years, 26 or 36,000 years, long duration." And that Dhruvaloka I do not cherish. I do not cherish the heavenly planets. I do not cherish the planet where Lord Brahma resides. Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. He is ruling out any of these as achievements. So when one's focus is on the result or on things, then one will adopt any possible means to achieve that result. But when the focus is on relationship, that I simply want to nourish my relationship with you, nourish my relationship with your devotees. In one sense, nourish my relationship with your devotee Indra, who has come here to kill me. And he is inspiring Indra. Please kill me. Have faith in the benediction of Lord Krishna. So this is the example of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what Uddhava is also talking about. He is cherishing his relationship with Krishna and wants to intensify it and seeks the most conducive environment where this relationship can be relished, can be fulfilled in its purest form. As Bhanu Maharaj says, you express your desire and you are very sincere in your desire, Krishna orchestrates material nature to fulfill that desire. But if that desire is not there, then even if the most favorable situations are provided, one is simply cursing his own fate. Why did I land up in this situation? And therefore, if you are even in the association of Krishna, you are no better than a mosquito. Mosquito can associate with a pure devotee, sit on his body. But all that it's interested in is sucking blood. And not in seeking nectar that is offered through Harikatha, through the pure Krishna consciousness, through satsang, and also through guidance that such a great personality is very willing to offer. We see the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Now, Dhruva Maharaj was extremely hurt by his mother, stepmother, Suruchi, when crying to Mother Suniti. Mother Suniti directed Dhruva Maharaj in a very, very distraught condition that please, oh Dhruva, go and seek shelter in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to whom your stepmother herself has directed you. Very helpless situation, yet she found some worth in what Suruchi had said. Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest, and we all have heard, we saw in the drama last week as well, how Narad Muni intercepted the journey of Dhruva Maharaj and in some sense intensified his desire to attain the Supreme Lord. He made beautiful proposals. In fact, he gave some beautiful instructions as well, that one should not be so disturbed by words that are spoken in this world. One has to rise above them. Dhruva Maharaj acknowledged what was being spoken by Narad Muni. Yet Dhruva Maharaj said, I am extremely hurt. In this hurt situation, whatever you are speaking is not really being registered by me. He was honest. And in the honesty, he said, Oh Narad Muni, all I seek right now is an unparalleled kingdom. Unparalleled kingdom. So if you could guide me towards that, please do. So of course, we see how Narad Muni guided Dhruva Maharaj to Madhuban, the banks of Yamuna, guided him to perform such severe austerity, penance. And Dhruva Maharaj went on for first 3 months, for some time, he was only eating once in 3 days some fruits. And as time progressed, his eating, drinking was once in six days and then once in 9 days, and practically stopped eating, practically stopped breathing, to the complete distress of the devatas. And Lord assured the devatas that the purpose for which Dhruva has been performing this penance is being fulfilled now. So do not be anxious. Now it's interesting what Dhruva Maharaj's response was when the Supreme Lord decided to appear before him. Dhruva Maharaj was very, very sincerely chanting the holy names of the Lord as directed by Narad Muni. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he was meditating on the beautiful form of the Lord in the heart, and the same form is explained he saw standing right outside. So Dhruva Maharaj was quite overwhelmed by this vision. And it's explained that through this process of pure self-purification and seeking refuge in the dhyana, in the meditation of the lotus beautiful form of the Lord, he was able to realize all the Vedic conclusions. And as a result, he also started seeing, well, what was I actually aspiring for? My aspirations were frugal in contrast to what I'm achieving now. So, there's some beautiful prayers. I just want to narrate one or two of them, which I found are very, very relevant, pertinent to what we're discussing now. So, Dhruva Maharaj prays, O Lord, please bless me so that I always get association of your devotees.
Bhaktim muhu pravatam tvaime prasango bhuyadanantam hatam amalashayanam yenanjasol banu maru vasanam bhavabdim neshe bhavad gunakatham ritapanamattaha.
So he said, All I aspire is the form that I am seeing in front of me, that let that also enter my ears in the form of your glories. Because when we narrate the beautiful form of the Lord, that recitation actually translates into his personified darshan in the heart. So let me hear, even in the august darshan of the Lord, what he wanted to do was hear. And how hear? He said, I would like to associate with your devotees, in whose presence I could actually get to hear. Why? Because they will engage in their transcendental loving service. And as a result of their association, their intensity of their association with you, when that translates into words they speak out of inspiration for your service, that will transform my heart. And he says, just like the waves of a river constantly flow, the service of these devotees constantly flows unto you. Such devotees are completely situated in an uncontaminated state of life. By the process of devotional service, I shall surely be able to cross the nascent ocean of material existence, which is filled with the waves of blazing fire-like dangers. It will be very easy for me, for I am becoming mad to hear about your transcendental quality. So, he is actually becoming mad. Neshye bhagavat gunakatha amrita pana mattaha. Mattaha, he is just getting completely mad. So this is the result of association with the Lord, even when the desire was actually to get a very large kingdom, an unparalleled kingdom. What was Dhruva Maharaj's qualification? He took the guidance of Narad Muni, was very honest with Narad Muni. He also very sincerely followed what his mother had suggested. In fact, what his stepmother had suggested as well. Worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So we can see that even in fulfilling relationships in this world, if one dovetails, one finds fulfillment in these relationships, in one's relationship with the Supreme Lord, brings that connection with the Supreme Lord, even these relationships are so fulfilled to such an extent that all these personalities, Suruchi, his father, Ruttanapad, later on, they are not only filled with remorse. King Ruttanapad realizes the pure consciousness that Dhruva Maharaj had been exhibiting in his sadhana, as well as the grace with which Dhruva Maharaj came back after being blessed by Lord Vishnu. Now, continuing in this narration, when Lord Vishnu heard the beautiful prayers of Dhruva Maharaj, did Lord Vishnu change his decision? He had appeared to bestow upon Dhruva Maharaj a very large kingdom. But Lord Vishnu said, I am going to bestow upon you a very large kingdom. How big is that kingdom? Well, your desire is very ambitious and difficult to fulfill. Even the Supreme Lord acknowledged that, Dhruva, your desire is very, you've targeted something really big. But I'll still fulfill your desire, all good fortune unto you. I will award you the glowing planet known as the Pole Star, which will continue to exist even after the dissolution at the end of the millennium. No one has ever ruled this planet. No one has ever ruled this planet. So, it's not only unparalleled, it is unoccupied. It's like newly created. It is surrounded by all the solar systems, planets and stars. So, for those of us who know Panchanga, Dhruva planet plays a very critical role. I was hearing that the whole system of Panchanga is so beautiful as against a universal coordinate system. When you find Panchanga, Aaj ka Panchanga, whatever. A person gets very, very sensitized to his neighborhood, to relationships around him. The whole idea of Panchanga is also to make a person conscious of relationships. Because when you talk about universal coordinate systems, then where is my relationship and where is my sense of responsibility? So, he says, here is Dhruva Loka. All the other planets circumambulate this planet, just as bulls tread around a central pole for the purpose of crushing grains. Keeping the pole star to their right, so it's really a parikrama. All the stars inhabited by the great sages like Dharma, Agni, Kashyapa and Shukra circumambulate this planet. And this planet will continue to exist after dissolution. Now, the Lord was bestowing something more than what Dhruva Maharaj had asked. I mean, Dhruva Maharaj had not qualified all this. So people like Hiranyakashipu or even like Ravan may try to beat the Lord's imagination or what they think is the Lord's imagination by putting conditions under which they may be killed. But Lord can beat all those conditions and bewilder the person who sought to be killed or sought to be escaping from every possible channel of death. On the other hand, when there is sincerity, as exhibited by Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord bestows something which is beyond imagination. And in fact, Lord Vishnu went on to say, what all will happen? You will rule the entire world for 36,000 years. Your senses will be as strong as they are now. And the Lord also explained what will happen. Your brother, Uttama, would go to the forest, would be killed, and so on. Dhruva Maharaj's reflection after being blessed in this way was as follows. In fact, Vidura is inquiring from Maitreya Rishi, my dear Brahmana, the abode of the Lord is very difficult to attain. It can be attained only by pure devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj achieved this perfection, this position even in one life. In fact, the context is that after your material life in this body, Dhruva Maharaj had already been assured by Lord Vishnu that after you exhaust your duties in this world, ruling for 36,000 years, you'll come back to my abode. He says, Tato gantasi matsthanam sarva loka namaskritam uparishtad rishabhas tvam yato navartate gatah yato navartate tad gatvana nivartante. That abode as well you'll achieve. So in one sense, his devotional service in this life and beyond was also guaranteed. So Vidura was naturally very curious. You're getting a devotional life in this world and devotional life beyond. Many devotees seek to buy flats in Vrindavan. And that's the conscious, that probably is a mood. That I'll go and settle in Vrindavan so that I prepare for Golok Vrindavan. Right? So one might wonder, oh, he seems to be blessed perfectly this way and Iha and Para both. But Maitreya Rishi responded. He said,
మాధుస్సపత్న్యా వాగ్బాణైర్ హృది విద్దస్తు తాన్ స్మరన్.
హిస్ హార్ట్, రుద్రో మహారాజస్ హార్ట్ హ్యాడ్ బీన్ పియర్స్డ్ బై ద వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ స్టెప్ మదర్. దట్స్ ద కాంటెక్స్ట్, హీస్ గివింగ్ ద కాంటెక్స్ట్. కింతు నైచ్చన్ ముక్తిపతేర్ ముక్తిం తస్మా తాపం ఉపేయివాన్. హీ సేస్, బట్ దెన్ హీ వాస్ వండరింగ్ why in the first place was I praying for something which is restricted to this material universe. Na ichchat muktipate, he is muktipati, he could award liberation. Why did I not desire that from him? Why did I not desire entry into the spiritual abode?
He did not demand actual liberation from the material world, but at the end of his devotional service, when the Supreme Personality of God had appeared before him, he was simply ashamed of the material demands he had in his mind.
So here is Dhruva Maharaj setting a standard not only for what you achieve. So one may wonder, result to a gaya, what is the problem? Right? By hook or crook, you get a result. But Dhruva Maharaj's contemplation is what I desired. Because that desire is reflecting what I seek in my relationship with the Supreme Lord. It may sometimes happen that a person does something out of ulterior motives and the guru is pleased. Right? And then, feel what? It took bonus ho gaya. I got my material desire fulfilled and guru is also pleased. But here we see the standard that it is not just about pleasing. It's about how you are trying to please. Are you trying to seek your personal self-aggrandizement in that relationship, even at the cost of the person whom you are trying to please, even if by chance the person is pleased? Or is the relationship so sacred that all that matters is that you have maintained a desire to serve? Sometimes it may happen that you desire to serve and the person is apparently unhappy. We know how 17 times Ramanujacharya appeared in front of Goshtipurna. Please, O Lord, please, O Master, give me that mantra. And finally, when Goshtipurna gave him the mantra, Ramanujacharya was told that you should not reveal this mantra to anyone. Because revealing this mantra will only mean eternal damnation in hell. And Ramanujacharya, what was his response? He went right to the top of the tallest structure and actually started pronouncing this mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya, for the benefit of everyone, out of great sincerity. This drew out the anger, apparent anger of Goshtipurna. So, in somewhat contrasting situation, Ramanujacharya very sincerely wanted to give what his Guru Maharaj had given, but this apparently displeased his Guru. Now, of course, this was also an external display by Goshtipurna. Eventually, when Ramanujacharya was questioned, are you not fearful of residing in hell for eternity? Ramanujacharya's contemplation was that if so many personalities can get delivered by chanting the holy name of the Lord, then what is the issue? What is the problem with one living entity residing in hell forever? So of course, one doesn't imitate, but one does try and imbibe the spirit. What is the spirit? The spirit is sincerity, seriousness and freedom from duplicity even in that relationship with the spiritual master. He was not trying to impress his spiritual master. In fact, he was not trying to deliberately violate what his spiritual master was saying. In fact, he was fully willing to accept the consequences of revealing the mantra as against what his spiritual master had suggested, instructed. He was very responsible in what he decided. And here you have Dhruva Maharaj again taking responsibility for the desire. It's not just responsibility for the result. And one can see that this responsibility for the desire, where he is reflecting, why did I pray this way?
He says, Samadhina naika bhaveda yatpadam vidusananda daya urdvaretasaha masairaham shad bhiramushya padayo chaya mutetya pagataha prutagvatihi.
He says, to endeavor to be situated in the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord is not an ordinary task. Because even the great brahmacharis headed by Sananda and Sanat Kumara, who practiced Ashtanga Yoga in trance, attained the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet after many, many births. Munam Janmanamante. Within 6 months, I achieved the same result. Now, is he exhibiting pride on what he achieved? No, he says, yet, due to my thinking differently from the Lord, I have fallen down from that position. What is the fall down? To be assured that 36,000 years, you will reside on Dhruva Loka, circumambulated by all the other planets, and then your assured entry into my abode. Now again, Dhruva Maharaj is reflecting on what he desired in the first place. He had desired for this big kingdom. Why did I not desire for pure, unalloyed, loving service unto you? And he goes on to say, how unfortunate I am. I approach the lotus feet of the Lord, who could cut the chain of repeated birth and death from this world. Out of my foolishness, I only prayed for things which are perishable. So this is the preparation every living entity can undertake in his life. On a very regular basis, reflect on the purity of his desires, on freedom from ulterior motives, and cultivating a genuine desire to serve. Right? Sometimes, even when people around may be tempting you to think otherwise. There's a very interesting story of Raja Bhoj. He was very well-known king in the region of Madhya Pradesh, even today if you go there. So it's explained that Raja Bhoj was always in the mood of giving away, daan, right? And especially he was into giving his time, samayadan, gyanadan, dhanadan. So some of his ministers were very concerned. What is this? He's just so much into giving away. Because Raja Bhoj felt that it is the sacred responsibility of a king. Nobody around him should go hungry. Right? Whoever is born is entitled to be fed. That's what Srila Prabhupada also envisaged when he started the Food for Life program. And he was very pained when he saw people hungry in the vicinities of temples especially. So, when he was in the mood of giving away, some of his ministers were very anxious. So they were trying to inhibit the king's magnanimous mood of giving away. So the daan that he was giving away, they left a small message. They were not personally there. They left a small message. They said, Apad kale dhanam rakshet. He left a message. In your difficult times, this dhana will protect you, O king. You, not us, you. So king was not happy because he knew that these ministers are only actually thinking about themselves. It's a message meant for me to protect them, not to protect myself. And the king was especially annoyed that they were not even honest about this. So the king, very intelligently, he left another message for the ministers. He said, Shrimadanam apad kutaha, apadaha kutaha. If one is actually opulent, how can there be any kind of obstacles? Because the real opulence, the king realized, is in being blessed by the Lord. Blessed by the Lord for being extremely responsible in his duties as a king, as a nripa. So the ministers were still not, they didn't give up. They didn't want to yield defeat to the king. So the next time they saw this message of the king, they again left a message. Agata daiva yogena. No, but you may say, apad will never come, but daiva yogena. By divine will it can come, apad can come. The king said, I have to put a full stop to this discussion when he saw this message again. So king left another message. He said, Sanchitopi vinashyati. When daiva yogena something comes, then what you have stored will also be going away. What will protect you? Sanchitopi vinashyati. That the ministers didn't dare to do any further discussion, sambad with the king. So this kind of assertiveness, where one realizes that everything I have has to be engaged in fulfilling this relationship with the Supreme Lord and also with His expansions. So therefore, with this consciousness, when Dhruva Maharaj ruled for, he did rule for 36,000 years. Now it is not that Dhruva Maharaj sent a message to the Lord that, oh Lord, not that first part I can't fulfill, the second part I will. No shortcuts. He was contemplating on his desire, how it could be purer. But this contemplation, this process of sharpening the saw, was the foundation of his ruling for 36,000 years. And therefore the ruling of Dhruva Maharaj for 36,000 years is also adored. For being such a God conscious, such a Krishna conscious, such a Dharma principle centered ruler. As blessed by the Supreme Lord Himself. We find many other instances in our scriptures where devotees prefer nourishing this relationship with the Lord over any kind of liberation. Gajendra fought with the crocodile for 1,000 years. And the surroundings were very beautiful. Trikuta with golden, silver and ironclad peaks. Beautiful. He was a king there. But to what avail? He had to fight for 1,000 years with a crocodile. Where? Not on land, but in water. Very frustrating experience. And that too being embarrassed in front of all the queens. People around him who could do nothing about what he was undergoing. The same people for whom he was a king. The praja couldn't come and protect the king. So Gajendra, in that situation, he reflected. And now it's interesting. How can a person reflect in this painful situation? Yes, even in a most painful situation, Krishna has blessed us that one can use one's intelligence. One can never say, my intelligence gets switched off when I'm in pain. No. Therefore, Krishna says that one should maintain the position of the intelligence above the mind. Indriyani paranyahur indriyabhya paramana manasastu parabuddhe yo buddhe parasastu saha. The intelligence has to be maintained in its position above the mind in its position above the senses in their position above the sense object. And of course, the Atma in its position above the intelligence. So that one doesn't lose direction even in these difficult situations. Now, this Gajendra was King Indradyumna from his past life. So the previous samskaras did count. It was not just magic. But it is to his credit that he reflected based on his samskaras from the previous life. So what was Gajendra's reflection? That whom should I look up to in this difficult situation? People around me? No. They are helpless. They are as helpless as me. Let me worship that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the refuge, at whose lotus feet great personalities seek refuge. Now, Gajendra probably did not know all the details, gory details of personalities who were inimical towards the Supreme Lord and attained His lotus feet, like we know the story of Aghasur. We know the story of Kamsa. Many, many personalities, they attained liberation even by being inimical towards the Supreme Lord. So Gajendra could have been extremely angry with the Supreme Lord for that difficult situation. So sometimes intellectually, we know that all this is happening because of the control of the Lord. Bayo riva ghanavali. Sakalo yat vashe loko bayo riva ghanavali. That everything is under the control of the Lord, just like wind can just blow the clouds. So similarly, we all have to follow the Daiva. And Gajendra could have exhibited that frustration. So if it's only the intelligence playing a role when the mind is not cultivated in devotion, then one can even turn his face away from the Supreme Lord. But Gajendra his mind was also cultivated from his past life so beautifully. And not only that, not only from his past life, but he also positively engaged his mind in the feelings of devotion towards the Supreme Lord. It's not just intelligence, it's also the mind. And in that position where his mind and intelligence were fixated on the Supreme Lord, he engaged his physique, his body. What was his physique? His trunk. And what was available there? A lotus. That's all. Patram pushpam phalam thoyam. It's a secret mantra. In the most difficult situation, you don't have toyam. Well, there was toyam. You can still offer a pushpam. That's all he could offer. But he offered that with complete focus of his intelligence, his mind and his physique. In a feeling of dedication, in a feeling of loving service towards the Supreme Lord. So the same Gajendra, he says, Ekantino yasya nakathan kanchanartham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannaha atyadbudapta charana charitam sumangalam dayanta ananda samudra magnaha tamaksharam brahma paramparesham avyaktam adhyatmika yoga gamyam atindriyam sukshmam evati duram anantamadyam paripurnamide. He says, the characteristic of your great devotees, unalloyed devotees, who have no desire other than to serve the Lord, is that they worship you in full surrender. Even in this situation, he is recalling the glories of the Lord's devotees. He's probably recalling from stories, Bhagavatam classes that he had heard in the past. Narrating, because this is only a summary. And he says they are all most wonderful. So he is remembering the name, form, quality and pastimes of the Lord. They're all, these great devotees always merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. Such devotees never ask the Lord for any benediction. However, he says, I am in danger. The Gayanta Ananda Samudra Bhagnaha. They are all completely absorbed in your glories. But what is my nature? Ananta Maam. I am in a very, very difficult situation. And as a result of this, I pray to the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of all great personalities, to please deliver me from the situation. I offer my obeisances again and again to him. So he is also expressing out of humility that in his situation, he seeks to be relieved. Though he knows that the glory of the Supreme Lord is not restricted to delivering someone from a painful situation. So unlike, in some sense, unlike Dhruva, he, when he became conscious that the only, the true understanding is to pray to the Supreme Lord for what he can offer, which is pure, unalloyed, loving relationship with him, Gajendra also acknowledged his difficult situation. Now, what was the result? Yes, Lord accepted Gajendra's prayers. Lord advented, delivered Gajendra from that painful situation and reciprocated with Gajendra's pure understanding of the Supreme Lord as the Purushartha Shiromani, as the goal of every activity performed, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, and took Gajendra back to his spiritual abode. So very much like Dhruva Maharaj, Gajendra was also taken back to his spiritual abode. So cultivating this pure desire, or cultivating the desire to appreciate this pure desire, as we see in the case of Gajendra, is again to be something considered to worthy of being emulated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nagapatni is in a very difficult situation. Their husband was, he had, of course, invited trouble upon himself. Kaliya had invited trouble upon himself by challenging Krishna, not only challenging Krishna, by provoking Krishna's sensitivity to his devotees by polluting the Yamuna river. The Nagapatnis, again, in a very painful situation, they pray. Nanaka prishtam nacha sarva bhaumam
न पारमेष्ट्यम न रसाधिपत्यम न योगि सिद्धिर अपुनर्भवम वा वांचयन्ति यत् पादरज प्रपन्नाः.
ओ लॉर्ड, कालिया इज वेरी वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव रिसीव्ड द डस्ट ऑफ योर लोटस फीट, बिकॉज those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingship of heaven, limitless sovereignty. So this is the quality of the dust of your lotus feet. We are hearing from Srila Prabhupada the letter that he wrote to Shyam Sundar Prabhu on Sunday, when very difficult to digest situation took place during the London Rath Yatra. Everything was planned to be perfect, but the ratha at the outset collapsed. And Srila Prabhupada, the way he understood the situation, the way he also helped Shyam Sundar Prabhu appreciate the situation, in a very loving and touching way, explaining how this is the will of the Lord. First of all, accept it as the will of the Lord. But even in that will, let's see what Raja Prapanna, what a Pada Raja he has left for us. What is a Pada Raja? That yes, the cart, at least it didn't fall apart towards the end of the Rath Yatra, which would have been even more difficult because there was a much larger crowd. Right? An embarrassing situation like this, to maintain a perspective and see Krishna's hand in Daiva. Not just Krishna's hand, but Krishna's loving hand in that Daiva. And not only that, Prabhupada said, you had a big concern about the Indian community in London being engaged in this movement. Here's an opportunity. They will see for themselves that you need help, that there are challenging situations. This will inspire them to come forward, to see inspiration in a failure that probably would have left only bitter memories for those who were engaged in that service. All of us could relate to such services in our own spheres. Some very, very bitter experiences. But in that bitter experience, to see the nectar that had unfolded, Samudra Manthana had wish, but there was also nectar. But to be able to absorb that nectar, one has to seek that nectar. If one is not seeking the nectar, one will only be, one will not only be drinking the wish, but only attracting more wish. Visha here, I didn't mean English wish, I meant Sanskrit visha. The nectar, the poison, which is the opposite of nectar. Right? So, Uddhava, it is in this mood that he is offering his prayers to the Lord, not out of any desire for escaping from this world, but seeking ultimate fulfillment in loving relationship with Krishna, where that relationship is more important, more prominent than personal conveniences or inconveniences. Ambarish Maharaj, after having performed vrata for 1 year, now it's explained that Ambarish Maharaj's devotional service was so impeccable that Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu had actually bestowed upon him Sudarshan Chakra. Here's my Sudarshan Chakra. Imagine the Lord just giving his Sudarshan Chakra, right? And Ambarish Maharaj is about to fulfill his vow. Durvasa Muni comes, and Durvasa Muni has to take a bath. Ambarish Maharaj, there's only a muhurta left for Ambarish Maharaj to do the parayan. And as Durvasa Muni is taking his bath, Ambarish Maharaj, in consultation with the sages, with his learned personalities around him, decides that, well, if I drink water, it will be neither breaking my fast, neither doing the parayan, nor will it mean eating something. Now, this was done out of utmost sincerity, but this was not to the liking of Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni had a mystic power to know that Ambarish Maharaj had drunk water. But that mystic power was not complemented with the appreciation for the devotional service of Ambarish Maharaj. So, this is a very interesting small story. I'll conclude with this. A Brahmana, the nature of a Brahmana is that he always wants to dissipate darkness. So this learned Pandit, he was walking on the banks of a river, and he heard on the other bank a person doing sadhana, chanting some mantra.
this Brahmana, he realized, oh, this person is not chanting mantra correctly. So what did he do? He took a boat, crossed the river, went to the other side, corrected the chanting of the mantra by this person, the sadhaka. Now there's nothing wrong in correcting someone's chanting. So that's not the intent of this. So the Brahmana, after correcting, he went back, resumed his journey. After a few moments, again he heard this person chanting wrongly. The same mantra, same mistake. So again he took a boat, crossed over, corrected the chanting, came back. He did this 3 times. The 4th time, when the Brahmana heard wrong chanting of mantra, he took the boat. But this person, sincere person who was chanting, he realized, well, I don't want to trouble the Brahmana so much. So as the Brahmana was on the boat, half midway through the river, the person chanting the mantra started walking on the water and met the Brahmana right in the center of the river. And the only thing the Brahmana could comprehend was this person is not chanting correctly. So he again corrected the chanting of the mantra without realizing that this person had the potency to walk over water, whereas I had to take a boat to cross the river. Right? So this, sometimes you have mystic powers. But when it's not complemented with the spirit of devotion, you fail to notice that Maharaj Ambarish had maintained this vow for 1 year and he had Sudarshan Chakra, blessed by the Lord. Unfortunately, Duras Muni tried to bring about the devastation of Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj was protected by Sudarshan Chakra. And yet, despite being protected by Sudarshan Chakra, what ultimately Ambarish Maharaj prayed is that, O Lord, if you are pleased with my devotional service and my vows, in exchange, I pray that not only you don't kill Duras Muni, you're chasing him in the form of the Sudarshan Chakra, but you please forgive him. So this is the magnanimous nature of a devotee, because he's cultivating his desires with utmost sincerity. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.